journey into the Citadel, where our pastor is Superintendent Johnson A. Bevan III. We hope you enjoyed this podcast.
All right, we see you there. Coming on here. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is a beautiful day. And we thank God for it. Got the conference line is open. People are chiming in on the conference line. Glad to see you all this morning on Facebook. It is a good day. I believe it's going to be a little scorcher today. A little hot as we go into right now, this mid part of the summer, and for all of the coolness we had for seemingly an extended springtime, God is giving us the blessedness of summer heat right here. So we bless God for all of you that are coming on. I see you scrolling in here. Good morning to all the families, all from Indy, some from outside of Indy. We see some in the north part of Indiana. Praise God. Brother Tracy, Elder Tracy, good bless you, man. All the way from northeast Indiana coming in. Hey, Sister Siobhan, good to see you this morning as well. Sister Kelly, I think I saw Sister Vera. And I think Evangelist Spencer. God bless all of you this morning. Well, I think most of you that are on here know who I am, Johnson Bevan. I have the privilege of serving as pastor to one of the most tremendous congregations in Indianapolis and the Midwest, the Citadel of Faith, Church of God in Christ, Citadel Kojic for short. So we welcome you to Citadel Cyber Church. God bless you, the love of my life, my wife, hey, this is Cheryl. We welcome you this morning to Citadel Cyber Church, and this is Sunday, July the 19th, and you're tuned into the right place this morning. And again, if you have family or friends who are not on social media for whatever reason, they certainly can join us this morning. And the conference line is open, and you could let them know this number, 605-475-2090, 605-475-2090. And the access code is 848-6651, and they'll have to press the pound sign to enter the conference line. Again, that access code is 848-6651, and to press the pound sign. See, let me know you're watching as you're coming on here, all that's here, and go ahead, feel free to share and to start a watch party this morning. Also, you can check in at Citadel of Faith, Kojic, and if you check in this morning, do that with the hashtag virtual gathering, hashtag virtual gathering. And as always, some may not be able to stay with us for the duration of our time today. Please return to our page here and just scroll down and check out what you may have missed, as we have been teaching some things in a systematic building upon block in these lessons here. God bless you, Sister Janae. Good to see you. Let your son, who I know has gotten much taller since I've last seen him, tell him hey for me. We'd love to connect with you if this is your first time gathering with us. A special welcome to you. We'd love to connect with you, to be a support to you, and especially to pray for you. To connect with us, just simply text 767-62 317-676-0134. Again, just text 767-62 317-676-0134. You'll receive a reply text that will have a link. You tap that link, it will take you directly to our digital connect card, and the card just takes less than 30 seconds to complete. But in the comment section, let us know that this is your first time, guest being with us here today, or there may be someone that just simply has a prayer request. Not that it's just a simple thing, it's an important thing, but you may just have a prayer request, or you would like to become a part of our online church community. You also can text that same number, 767-62-317-676-0134. Complete the connect card, and in the comment section, Leave us your prayer request. Just let us to know that you want to be a part of the online church community. So just type in there online community or online church. Also, if you'd like to give a monetary gift in support of our ministry, that can be done at any time, not just today, but any time throughout the week and in any amount. No amount is too small. No amount is too large. There are four ways you can share and give. One is via Cash App, and that's to $COFCOGIC. Again, $COFCOGIC. As well as the mobile giving app, Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y, Givelify. And we've made it easy for you to access Givelify on our Facebook page. There's a blue bar that reads Use App. Just tap the blue bar. That will take you directly to Givelify and just follow the prompts in giving your donation. Also, after today's gathering, there will be a description of our time today here. And in that description will also be a link to Givelify. We also can receive donations by way of PayPal to Citadel of Faith, Church of God in Christ. So we just want to stay connected with you and building community to share the word of God with you, and certainly the love of the Lord as well. So I thank you again for gathering with us this Sunday morning. Good to see our millennial mother is working at social media, y'all. We thank God for Sister Linda. And so as we go along today, please join in with me, engage with me with an emoticon or with some kind of emoji. You may have a comment, could even have a question. And so we'd ask you to type that in as we go along today. So let's go into the word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, first of all. Father, we thank you and we bless you again for this wonderful day that you've blessed us with. We thank you, God, for your grace, watching over us through the night and keeping everything safe, because you neither sleep nor slumber. And therefore, our safety is in you, even while we sleep. So we bless you because you're the only God that there is. You're the giver of life, the sustainer of life. For we live, we move, and we have our being in you. So we bless you for being our God, the only God, the loving God, the giving God, the gracious God. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved us from our sins, cleansed us from all unrighteousness, gives us a right to access and come before your presence. And so it's through him and by him that we come to you this morning in this moment of time of gathering, giving you praise and glory and honor. We bless you for how you've made ways out of no ways, even through some of these difficult days we've experienced. We thank you, God, for preserving us, keeping us. We thank you, Lord, for comforting for those who have lost family members through this pandemic. Your grace yet has still been available to us, God. And when we're weak, you're able to make us strong through your grace, for your grace is sufficient for our needs. And so we thank you for your grace that we have in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, for the precious gift of the Holy Ghost that makes the realities of heaven real here on this earth with us. And so we ask you, Lord, to be with us now. Ask your Holy Spirit to open up understanding, grant unto us what is needed and that which is instructive for our living and in our relationship with you, and also in understanding the things about you. And so we open up to you, God. We open up our hearts. We ask you to deposit within us that we will grow and be used of you even in this day and time we're living in right now. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and give a shout out to God today if you don't mind. God bless you. Brother Ronnie, good to see you, man. God bless you. God bless you. All others have come on. I know I probably missed some of you as I was praying, but we're glad to have you with us today. Just go ahead and give a shout out to God this morning and just lift your hand. Whatever you got to do, if you got a holler, you might need to holler today. Some people have a holler they got to get out. And if you got a holler in you, you got to get out. Get it out this morning. Praise God. You might even have to get up out of your chair, wherever you're sitting at. Just go run around real quick and give the Lord a shout of praise, because God is worthy of all the praise. Well, we've been studying in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, from the subject matter, a theological perspective on Pentecost, a theological perspective on Pentecost. And our intent has been to see the day of Pentecost beyond the event itself, not to minimize the event, but to maximize it by seeing it with a greater understanding through the eyes of a theological perspective. And because a person's perspective, as you know, in life, our perspective or how we see things affects our understanding of those things. And so perspective is very important. Now, we've taken a few excursions in the second chapter of Acts related to the issues of race, racism, justice, and equality. And you might say, well, how do you get all that out of Acts chapter 2? Go back and take a look at some of the previous videos we've had up for the last several weeks as we use it as a launching pad and understanding and seeing in relation to some of those issues. And in doing that, I hope that I have sufficiently stressed how important a theological framework connects with our reading, our studying, and understanding of the Bible, and how that it also helps broaden our understanding of an issue or matter. Because theology is like a lens. Now, thank God for these right here today. Theology is like a lens that, as the dictionary defines it, facilitates and influences perception, comprehension, and evaluation. And so theology helps us see Scripture from a broader perspective to gain a better understanding of it and how it relates to life. And so even in reading and studying Acts chapter 2, a theological perspective is important for us to have. And the reason for that is this. In this one chapter, chapter 2 of Acts, it is laden, it is heavily loaded with theological content. And so we've been taking a look at it. The content or the layout of it in Acts chapter 2 is basically in four things. One is the event. We've talked about the event already. It also speaks of its extent, the extent of the event, who it affected, and how it affected those there on the day of Pentecost. And thirdly is the explanation of the event, and then also the effect of the explanation. And so we're at the point of taking a look at the explanation of the event of the day of Pentecost. And the curiosity is we've been studying, we saw there in Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, after what happened, the event, there was a curiosity because they asked the question, what does this mean? But there also was some who were mocking. They were attributing the speaking in tongues to those persons being drunk off of wine. And that prompted Peter, as we read in verse 14, to step forward. And along with the other 11 apostles standing together as a team, Peter shouted out to the crowd saying, "Let me explain this to you so you make no mistake about it." All right. So listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. That's what he says. That's how he starts out. And in my words, Peter first starts out telling them that, no, this ain't that, in terms of how some of them, their perspective was on what just happened, what they saw. He said, no, it ain't that, by pointing out really the unlikeliness of some of their assumption that the disciples were drunk because it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And according to some scholars, Jews normally didn't have breakfast till about 10 o'clock. But Peter then commences to provide the real reason for the phenomenon they all were witnessing right there, live and in living color. And he says in verse 16, "But this is that." All right. Now, what follows is Peter's explanation of the event, its meaning, and its implication. And his proclamation, I tell you, this was the first sermon of its sort, all right, from coming out from the event, the day of Pentecost. And this proclamation takes up about two-thirds or approximately 66% of this chapter, all right, in reading it. And so this alone gives us a good reason to stop and to hearken as well, to examine Peter's sermon, what he said, and its implication for life To where we might even ask, as the hearers did, his hearers, those who were there listening to him that day, after hearing his sermon, they asked the question, what shall we do? Every time we hear something from God, we need to ask ourselves as well, what shall we do? Now, the breadth of Peter's sermon is extraordinarily compact, as I've shared with you, with theological content. It is packed deep and full with aspects of theology. And theology simply is just teaching about God and teaching about the things of God. So that's what we're focusing on here. And we're taking a look at it from a theological perspective, and specifically through the lens of a branch of theology known as systematic theology. And I shared with you last Sunday that systematic theology basically involves collecting and understanding all the relevant passages in the Bible on a various topic. That's why you just can't take one scripture and base a doctrine off of it. All right, you take it all. You take all the scriptures that pertain to something, gather it all together, summarize those teachings clearly so that we can better understand and know what we need to believe about what the scripture is talking about in regards to this topic or that topic or this topic. And so basically or simply, systematic theology answers the question, what does the Bible teach about certain topics? All right, so that's where we are. And so in verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and speaks. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, he speaks a Spirit-inspired proclamation, just as he and the other disciples had done when they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so this proclamation is a Spirit-inspired moment of speaking. And it is an explanation of this, as he says in verse 16, this, all right? Which is, this is expressed actually in two parts in terms of the explanation that Peter gives. He gives his explanation, the major portion going on here from this chapter. And the first part of his explanation is the what this is. And that's in verses 16 and 21. And we'll look at that real quick here. But the second part of the explanation that Peter gives in his proclamation is the why this is, or why it has happened. And that's in the latter verses of verses 22 through 36. And we'll take a look at that later. But what is crucial to recognize as we look at this, and we'll see this very clearly as we look at the second part for sure, but it's crucial to recognize that the what and the why are because of a who. All right, you get that? The what and the why. What this is and why this has happened is because of a who, a person. And we'll deal with that a little later. Let's dig into the first part. The first part of the explanation of the event basically is this. This supernatural phenomenon was, or as Peter's saying, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Joel. It's the fulfillment of the prophet Joel and what he has said. Again, in verse 16, it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This, what you have witnessed, is that what the prophet Joel foretold. Peter, in essence, says what was predicted by the prophet in the past and expected to happen for some 5 to 6 centuries, all right, has now come to pass. What was said back there has on this day come to pass. What we've been expecting, all right, for these many centuries has come to pass. And what Peter does, Peter links the events that lightened up that morning and mesmerized all the people there in Jerusalem before breakfast, all right? He links all those events to what was said long ago. And one commentator says the Jews came to believe that with the passing of the last of the writings, with the passing of the last of the writings of the prophets in the early post-exilic or exilic period, the period after the exile, the Babylonian exile, that those prophets that since that passing, the spirit of prophecy had ceased, all right, in Israel for that period of time after the early post-exilic period of time. But he writes, goes on to say, but they expected that with the coming of the Messianic age, there would be a special outpouring of God's Spirit in fulfillment of Ezekiel 37. And that prophecy would again flourishing. And that, when I mean that prophecy, the fact that prophecy itself would again flourish. And he goes on to say that Peter is telling the people that this age of fulfillment for which they had been eagerly waiting has dawned. All right. So from a theological lens, this first segment of his sermon, verses 17 to 21, deals with matters of eschatology. All right, that's the theological word or framework right there. Matters of eschatology, or the doctrine of last things. Eschatology addresses matters pertaining to death and the intermediate state, or what happens after death until the resurrection that we talked about, I think it was last week or the week before. Eschatology addresses future events, the second coming of Christ, the tribulations, the Antichrist, about the resurrection, the millennium, judgments, the final destinies of the unrighteous, dealing with Satan, the final angels, their destinies, the Antichrist, and the future state of the righteous or the believers. Now, one thing is very important to realize and understand is this. Eschatology entails the end. In other words, everything pertaining to the last things has a purpose, or a telos, T-E-L-O-S, has a purpose intended. You all know that God is a God of purpose, all right? Nothing happens without purpose in relation to God. For instance, the law, all right, the law of the Old Testament, the law, that was our schoolmaster, and its purpose was to bring us to Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. And so God always has a purpose in mind. He has a purpose in the end, all right? I don't know anybody that goes to a movie and goes in to sit down, pays that money, and goes in to sit down just to see one segment of the show. All right. You stay until what? You stay until the end. And at the end, normally comes up and says the end. It's at least some of the old shows, they always said the end. And in scripture, in dealing with the end, it always generally has a definite article behind it or before it. The end. All right. And so God always has a purpose in the end. In the end times, in the end of things, the purpose of things, what happens? I'll just quickly recall, you all said, have read the story of Job. And James sort of gives a picture of it and a purpose of it to some degree in terms of how God does things and why God does things. And in James chapter 5 and verse 11, it reads, behold, we count them happy who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end, or the telos, the purpose of the Lord. All right. Everything that God took Job through had an end, but it had a purpose. All right. It had a purpose. God always has a purpose, an expected end, or an intended end, if you will, for all that happens. And so eschatology deals with the last things. And we could call it the end of things, or the end of times, or in terms of the purpose of God, bringing things to its conclusion, to the purposes that God has prepared and set. And so in these verses, Peter basically identifies the beginning and the ending of the last days. And he succinctly states what will even happen in between. So let's read real quick here. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 21. And it shall come to pass in the last days, and again, he's quoting, or he's saying, this is what the prophet Joel spoke. And it shall come to pass, that's in Joel chapter 2, all right, chapter 2, verses about 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass in the last days, and that's where we get, this deals with eschatology. It is eschatological, All right, it's speaking of the last days. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show you wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness before that great and notable or glorious day of the Lord come. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? So what he speaks of here really is the beginning and the ending period that stretches from Pentecost to what we call the Parousia, P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A, the coming of Christ. It's the age of the Spirit to the coming of Christ, the age that now is, the age that is right now, to the age that is to come. That's what he speaks about here in his first part of dealing with the explanation of what happens on the day of Pentecost. All right, so the one thing he really brings out is this. The day of Pentecost was the commencement of the last days, all right? I know a lot of times you hear people talk, oh, we now in the last days. We in the last days right now. Well, the last days began on the day of Pentecost. The coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost inaugurated or started or began the last days. And so in verse 17 and 18, really, it pertains to this age of the Spirit, which began at Pentecost. And in this age, in this period between Pentecost and the Parousia, the coming of the Lord, God will pour out of his Spirit upon all people. And that's what started there on the day of Pentecost. And poured upon all people, indicating again, as we shared with you before, Pentecost and God's purpose again, Pentecost universal scope, had all of those people. It was multicultural, multilingual, national, multiracial, were gathered there the day of Pentecost, all right? And so it's this age of the Spirit that God will pour out his Spirit upon all people, irrespective of gender, age, and status. He says, your sons and your daughters, young and old, servants and handmaidens, all right, those of low estate. One's gender, age, or status doesn't make any difference. God says it's going to pour his Spirit upon all people, all right, indicating a non-discriminatory reach. Again, that's what really happened on the day of Pentecost. And that is not just the priest, it's not just the king, it's just not the prophet per se, that the Spirit is going to be upon as it was in the Old Testament days. But in this age right here, the age of the Spirit, regardless of gender, age, and status, the people, God is going to pour out his Spirit upon people where they will experience the prophetic and the charismatic expression of the Spirit of God. And this is to some degree fulfilling the desire of Moses. You recall they were going through their period of time. You read in Numbers chapter 11 that the Spirit of the Lord met with Moses and took the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70 elders, and they began to prophesy. And interestingly, Joshua, the one who was to take up behind Moses, said, Moses, stop them. And Moses questioned, what, are you envious of me or something? What's the deal here? What's going on here? And then Moses says this, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon all of them. All right. That was a desire of Moses because of what we experience when the Spirit of God is upon us. And even also, this is a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in the second chapter of his book. And so the first thing he deals with here lets us know that the day of Pentecost began the last days. But then secondly, speaks of another day. in closing out here, he speaks of the day of the Lord. At the end of there, verse 20, talks about and says, and before that great and notable day, before that great and glorious day of the Lord come. This is the day of the Lord. Whereas the day of Pentecost is or was the beginning or the commencement of the last days, the day of the Lord is the consummation of the last days. Whereas the coming of the Spirit began the last days, the coming of Christ will be the ending of the last days at the end of what's known as the Great Tribulation. Don't have time to get into that right there, what that is. But the day of the Lord is the conclusion or the consummation of the ending of the last days. It will conclude what we call this period of the last days, this period between Pentecost and the Parousia, between Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, and the Parousia, the coming of the Lord. And this day, the day of the Lord, will be a day of judgment. And so in verses 19, that's what he's dealing with. And he lets us know that prior to the end of this age, in the last days, prior to the end of this age of the last days, preceding the day of the Lord, the text says before, preceding the day of the Lord, which will be the day of judgment, there will be some apocalyptic type visual cosmic disturbances in the earth, in the heaven, as a sign that the day is approaching. I don't know if you've got your Bible with you. I hope you do, maybe not. But if you don't, just listen to this here real quick. In Revelation chapter 6, and it reads like this, starting in verse 12. And I beheld, this is John the Revelator, one of the apostles of the Lord. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sack of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman or slave person, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Somebody back, the saints of old, just saying Jesus getting us ready for that great day. And in that great day, who shall be able to stand? And so what we see here is that Peter is saying that what has happened here on the day of Pentecost is the beginning of the purpose that God has in bringing this thing even to an end. So the last days have begun on the day of Pentecost. And there's going to be a fulfillment. God is going to bring this thing as he has started it. He's going to bring it to its fulfillment in totality, as the prophet Joel declared. And certainly there's more to it. And we deal with the context and the background of Joel and everything. But Peter's linking what happened to what Joel wrote in his prophetic pronouncement and book. And so the day of the Lord, believe it or not, will transition this current age to the age to come, the millennial kingdom or the thousand-year reign of Christ that's referenced in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. And so the first part of his explanation of the day of Pentecost deals with the beginning and the end of the last days. That's why it's eschatological. It's dealing with the last times, the last days, things pertaining to eschatology. Now, in between those 2 days, all right, in between Pentecost and the Parousia, in between the coming of the Spirit and the coming of Christ, which is the age of the Spirit, in between these 2 days is also another day. It's called the Day of Salvation. The Day of Salvation. It is the period of preaching the gospel, which began right there on that day, on the day of Pentecost. And what we're looking at here was the beginning of the preaching of the gospel in the age of the Spirit. This is the period of preaching the gospel, but compelling people to call on the name of the Lord. For again, in verse 21, coming out from verse 20, it says, before all this is going to happen, certainly the cosmic disturbances are going to take place before that great and notable day that the Lord come, and it shall come to pass. This is going to happen too. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so in between the day of Pentecost and the day of the Lord, the coming of the Spirit and the coming of Jesus Christ, is the day of salvation. Right now, we're in the day of salvation. All right. So the word day in the Bible doesn't necessarily talk about just one day. All right. I know that people say, this is the day of the Lord. I really rejoice and be glad in it. A lot of times I think that they're saying the thing about this specific day. But the day of the Lord, or the day, that day is the period of time, all right, that the Lord has given and granted unto us. This is the day of the Lord in terms of God's grace being upon us. That's what Psalm 118 really was getting to, talking about the day of salvation, all right? And that's where we're in. This is the day of salvation. This is the period of time between Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, and the coming of Christ, that God not only is pouring out his Spirit, but he's done it for the purpose of people getting saved. So verse 21, I like what John R.W. Stott says about it. He calls it a long day of actually opportunity, a long day of opportunity. And it's a long day, again, guess what? On purpose, all right? It's a long period because God does everything on purpose. It's the day of opportunity to receive the salvation of the Lord. It's the day or a period of a time to come to Jesus before Jesus comes. And there are many who say that, it's taking a long time. Jesus, y'all said he's coming and he still ain't here. But there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose of that because God really doesn't want anybody to be lost, all right? And because only those who have come to Jesus, those who call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Only those who come to Jesus will be with Jesus. And so it's a long day because of God's long suffering with sinners. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and check this out. Again, this is eschatological, deals with eschatology, deals with the last days as well. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come, guess when? In the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, Peter says, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overwhelmed with water, perished. Y'all know he's talking about the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, all right, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. The one day, that one day is with the Lord. That one day is with the Lord as a thousand years and a thousand years as one day. So our understanding of day is different than God's perception of what a day is. The Lord is not slack. Here it is. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, there's that word again, there's that phrase, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, my Lord. That's powerful. I don't know about you, but that's powerful. That's powerful. So the Lord is long-suffering, all right, in between the coming of the Spirit and the coming of Christ, the day of Pentecost and the day of the Lord, because now is the day of salvation. The age of the Spirit is also the day of salvation. And the Apostle Paul said it this way, my friend, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he says," speaking of the prophets, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee," or helped thee. "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And that's the day we're in right here, my friend. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, if you have not come to Jesus right now, God has been long-suffering. He's long-suffering with us. He's been long-suffering with you. God has been pulling upon your heart. God has been speaking to you. God has been drawing you, and you've been tugging back and forth. But today, now, the day, today is the day of salvation. This is the period of time to give your life to Jesus Christ, because when Jesus comes, there won't be that opportunity again. Because it's those that call upon him in the day of salvation shall be saved. It shall come to pass that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, if you want to be ready when Jesus comes, if you want to be prepared and to be able to be with him when he comes, you have to accept Jesus Christ. All right? You have to accept him. And that is a simple thing to do. All right? You first must believe in what the Word of God says about him. And you must confess your sins, confess your error, confess your wrong, and then confess Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. If we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, call upon the name of the Lord, God declares, the Bible says, that you shall be saved. And that's what this period of time is for, my friend. If you have not received Jesus Christ in your life, this is the day, your day of salvation. If you want to sincerely repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you and come into your life, pray this prayer after me. Father, I hear what this man has just said, and I feel you in my heart, tugging upon my heart, and I want to give my life to you, accepting Jesus Christ. Father, forgive me. Save me by the blood of Jesus Christ. I confess Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me, to save me from my sin and from myself. Rescue me through the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me of my wrong through the blood of Jesus, and accept me into your good graces through and by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, was simply confessing your sin and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in your heart what God says about him, what the Word of God declares about the truth about Jesus Christ, you have been saved. The Bible declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it doesn't mean that you can just go just nilly-willy and do whatever you want to do, as the ending of what we read in 2 Peter told us how that we are to live all right, because of what is coming, and being prepared for the coming of the Lord. And so that's happened to you, my friend. We want to know about that, and we want you to let us know. And to do so, I just need you to text 767-672-317-676-0134 and complete the connect card. And in the comment section, let us know that you prayed that prayer. Just type in there, "I prayed that prayer," so that we can be in touch with you and stay in contact with you, and to walk alongside of you your spiritual journey right here in the day of salvation, between the day of Pentecost to the Parousia, the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, to help you, to stand alongside you, to give you what you need from a personal standpoint in terms of having brothers and sisters in the Lord as we all journey in this together until the coming of Jesus Christ. You also may just want to have some spiritual connection, or would like to become a part of our online church community. You also can let us know that by texting 767-672-317-676-0134. And if you have a prayer request, just leave it in the comments section. Or again, if you want to just be a part of our online church community, just type in there, "online church." Again, you can give and support to our ministry, Citadel of Faith, in four ways. One is through Cash App, and that's the $ COFCOGIC. Also, through Givelify, there's a blue bar in our fan page that will allow you to tap it, and you tap it, it goes right directly into Givelify app, and it will just prompt you through to giving, as well as you can give by way of PayPal to Citadel of Faith, Church of God in Christ. If you want to mail, you can do that as well. Mailing address is 7676 East 38th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46226. So as we close out today, always know you can catch us on our podcast, Journey to the Citadel, on Apple and Google Podcasts, Soundbreaker, iHeartRadio, Spotify as well, and on our website at citadelkojic.com. Please like us and follow us here on Facebook, and you also can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I thank God for the brother that does a tremendous job in working on dealing with our social media and posting us a lot of things, keeping us encouraged. And so we want to encourage you as well. So follow us on those social platforms as well. And if you receive something of worth today, please share this on your timeline that others can be a part of what we're learning and the study that we're doing. And also recommend us right here on Facebook for others to know about us as well. We'll be back here again this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We're continuing our study in the book of Ephesians on the work of the Holy Spirit. Please know that my wife, Rita Marie, Lady Rita, loves you and I love you, but God loves you so much more. And again, as I always say, no matter what you're going through, no matter what is happening in your life, just stand and take these words to heart of what Jesus said is this: if you can believe, all things are possible. Have a tremendous remaining Lord's Day. And until next Wednesday, peace and God's blessing be upon you.